Money Talk. This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on four new labor codes empowering workers driving economic growth. The participants are A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Welcome to Money Talk. Today we delve into a transformative chapter of India's workforce, the new labor codes. These landmark reforms promise to simplify compliance, empower workers with more rights, and propel economic growth by streamlining the regulatory landscape. To understand how these codes affect employers, employees, and the broader economy, we have with us the distinguished economic policy expert, Mr. A.K. Bhattacharya. A warm welcome.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Mr. Bhattacharya, what is the primary objective behind introducing the new labor codes in India, and how do they differ from previous regulations?
Well, I think what has been achieved is quite remarkable. You will have to recognize that India's labor laws were diverse, and many of those laws came into being before India became independent. So therefore, the need for reforming these laws was utmost. Now, what was done in year 2020, that the government decided to take a fresh look at these laws and convert these laws into simplified codes so that there is ease of dealing with this policy aspect of dealing with labor. Now, what we see in this code, in these four codes now, which were notified on November 21, is that the three things come out from these four labor codes. There used to be earlier 29 labor laws. Now, they have become four codes now. There used to be almost 1,400 rules under these 29 laws. Okay. Now, they have been reduced to just around 350 odd rules. There's to be need for four licenses required for anybody to start a factory or an industrial enterprise. Now there's only need for one license. There was need for eight kinds of registrations. Now you need to have only one registration. In everything that you've seen is that rationalizing these 29 laws, reducing these rules by almost one third to them, you are seeing a sea change in the labor policy space in this country, which definitely encourages industry. It provides greater stability to the labor environment, and it also benefits the working classes. Now, the objectives of these initiatives is essentially to simplify compliance and at the same time strengthen the enforcement mechanism and modernize the laws.
Okay.
So these are the broad objectives which propelled the government to come out with these four labor codes.
It's also aims at doing the business smoothly, or ease of doing business is strengthened through these laws. And also, it will also facilitate Make in India process better.
Well, certainly, you know, what used to happen in India is that there would be companies would be set up units, but they will always stay small. They'll always stay a medium-sized unit, not hiring more than 100 employees, because that would mean that the moment you are more than 100, then you come under various provisions. For example, there are seasonal businesses. Take the case of the apparels or garments. Now, we'll get some business in the time of, let us say, autumn, because of the December Christmas demand in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you set up a unit, but then in December, there is no demand at all. So, if you want to set up a company in which your employee strength is more than 100 to meet this huge demand coming forward, you cannot get the employees without government approval. So no company will set up a company and enjoy the economies of scale, which is more than 100 employees. Now these laws have done is this, under industrial disputes norms, you can go up to 300 employees, and not necessarily, if you want to, let us say, do without them when you have no business, you don't need the government approval. So that has given the businesses a great opportunity to go and expand.
Flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, there are a lot of social security measures that provide greater certainty and greater benefits to the employees.
So, in what specific ways do the new codes aim to empower workers, such as wage protection, health benefits, or safety measures?
Oh, of course, there are many ways. For example, there is now a concept of minimum floor wages. Now, what used to happen earlier was that different states would come out with their own minimum wages. Now, the center has decided under this labor code, you have a clear nationally determined minimum wages, which is a floor below which no state can pay the minimum wages.
Okay.
So therefore, every state has to go above that.
Okay.
What it means for a company? A company, let us say,
the minimum is defined.
Defined. Now, what happens is a company which has got, let us say, 4 units in 3 different states. Now, it doesn't have to worry about which state has what. As long as it stays above that nationally determined minimum floor, then it is okay. And then question of wages. Now, what happens is every worker will have to get an appointment letter. No employee can be given a package where the wages, which is the DNS allowance and salary, etc., be less than 50% of your total package. Now, which means that your social security benefits will not be undermined and you will enjoy the benefits of social security.
Okay. So how might these changes contribute to economic growth and make India a more attractive destination for business?
It's a matter of time that when you see the labor laws are simpler, where the enforcement is stricter, where compliance is simpler and the laws are modern, you will see that more companies are setting up larger scale companies because they will find dealing with these newer norms will be easy. So certainly they will contribute to higher growth.
So are there any key provisions that enhance protection for women and migrant workers under these codes?
Well, of course, I mean, for example, in the safety part of that code, you have provisions by which what is the number of the social security and the safety provision that you need to keep for a woman. For example, right now, there are many states where you would not allow a woman to work during night time. Now, the new code allows a woman to work in night time, provided the company provides necessary security guards and everything for them.
Okay.
So it essentially widens the labor market, number one. And number two, it also improves the labor force participation rate for women, which in India is abysmally low.
So from the employer's point of view, what kind of challenges would they face in implementing these new regulations, especially the small and medium enterprises?
They will have to really work hard on ensuring that they comply with the new laws. Of course, the new compliance norms are simpler and rationalized, but there is an element of, for example, appointment letters. Now, they have to issue appointment letters. They have to make sure that the pay scales, the packages, they conform to those 50% norm. So I think there are many sectors of the economy that is in the early days of the response to this new labor code that we see that some companies, some sectors, particularly the IT sector, is saying that their cost will go up by around 5 to 10%. Now, it will go up, but it means that the wages and the security will also get better. So you can expect
the output would be better.
Output would be better. Mm. Productivity will be better. Mm. So I think, yes, companies will have to ratchet up their game a little bit and their cost may go up. But it is good to have a labor sector whose safety and security are taken care of.
So you mentioned appointment letters, overtime wages and social security. What about the informal or contractual workers?
What happens is that, for example, overtime. Now, the overtime issue is that if you are making them work and pay a certain amount for 8 hours of work, and then if you are making them work for an overtime, then mandatorily under the labor code, you have to pay them double the wages. Now, this is very, very categorically stated. And the new coaches. So that is number one. Number two is that when you are making them work with an appointment letter and you are making sure that even if the person is on a fixed term contract, which is the contract job, even then you have to provide them gratuity. Now, earlier what is to happen is that if you are on a fixed term job, you don't get a gratuity. You only get a gratuity if you are in a full term employment and you work for 5 years. Now, the moment your fixed-term employment crosses 1 year, you start getting gratuity. So the contractual workers also benefit, and therefore the earlier worry that large number of informal workers who are not full-time employee, they may not get the EPF, but they will now under this new labor code, you will get the gratuity benefits also.
So there could be potential drawbacks or criticism to the new codes, and how might these be overcome.
We need to make sure that the enforcement of the new labor codes should be done with a light touch, in the sense that the new labor codes have the right intentions in providing a better deal for labor, the right intention in providing a kind of a freedom for the employers to have flexibility of their employment. But at the same time, it should not mean the return of the inspectors. It should be done as far as possible without any inspectors coming and visiting. As I was telling you, that the registration needs have been reduced, and the rules are fewer, licenses requirement are very few. So hopefully, the number of inspectors visiting the factory premises will be less. But I think the trick would be how you make sure that the implementation of the new labor codes is smooth and without much interference from the inspector. We don't want an inspector, Raj, to come back in the guise of these new labor codes.
So compliance seems to be a concern. So how can the employer and the employee ensure that there is compliance?
It will depend on different companies. But I think there are state-level labor directorates which will be operational, and they will make sure that the new labor codes are enforced. But they must ensure that these are enforced without undue interference in day-to-day functioning. And ultimately, these labor codes will also work when there is more trust and a relationship of complementarity.
So what advice would you give to the businesses and workers to adapt successfully to these changes?
The working classes should see that a lot of their benefits and a lot of their rights have been protected, and consultation process should continue with the government as well as with the employers. And the employer should make sure that it is not just the spirit, but also intention and the real purpose of the law that should be honored.
So these will be implemented from November.
These have been now gazetted. Now they become part of the gazette notification. As you know, the labor is in the concurrent list. So the state and the center can both frame laws. In this case, the center has framed the laws, and many states have already adopted these laws. So now it will be easy. So in the next 7 days, by 28th of November, you expect the rules will be out. And once the rules are out, there will be a mandatory, I think, 40 days or 45 days of feedback from the system. And then once those feedback comes, and these will become rules and the codes that will be followed by industry.
So, Mr. Bhattacharya, you just mentioned that many state governments are at different stages of framing rules under the codes. How is this regulatory variation, will it affect implementation for companies?
No, I think most states have actually already bought into this labor codes that the center has announced. As a matter of fact, these were passed by Parliament in 2020. I think in these last 5 years, what we have seen is this, many states, most states have actually signed on to these codes, and sooner all the states come on board, it will be good for the country. But if you see that even in the case of, let us say, the state VAT, when it was introduced, there are some states which did not join initially, and then later on they joined. So if the new labor codes can succeed and can show results in terms of ease of doing business for the employers and social security and ease of compliance for the workers, then I would imagine even the states that are not yet signed on to it will also agree to be part of the new labor codes.
Let's hear what the Deputy Secretary General of PhD Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Mr. Jitendra Singh, had to say about the new labor codes.
The new labor code is a milestone for our new age businesses, for new age workers, and also it has led to broader participation of not only regular employees, but also contract workers, the gig workers, the women workers, as well as migrant workers. New labor legislation, women can actually work irrespective of any sector. The only thing is, like, there has to be a sort of a concern that needs to be taken, along with all safety measures have to be in place, including the transport. So this will actually improve the business ecosystem, particularly in some of the organizations which are more women-led organizations. At the same time, this labor legislation gives an equal employment opportunity for all. This has actually become now gender neutral. Women can also actually seek the same pay as compared to the male counterparts. So I'm sure that with this new labor codes, not only it is pro-employer, it is also pro-employee, and this will definitely help in ease of doing business and will bring more FDIs and FIs in India.
Mr. Bhattacharya, we would like to thank you for your valuable insights on the new labor codes.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on 4 new labor codes, empowering workers, driving economic growth. The participants were A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR.
Money Talk.